As we open our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, our text is found in verses 33 to 42. Our topic this morning is the wisdom of man. We'll be reading Acts chapter 5, verses 33 to 42. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that the very Spirit of God, who is the author of these pages, might this morning so speak to our hearts that we might be aware of your presence, knowledgeable of your will, and strengthened to walk in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One day I was in a gift shop in the southern part of Chile, and I saw hanging on the wall of the shop a little motto that was for sale. It said, No me den consejos, sé equivocarme solo. Which, being translated, means, Don't give me advice, I know how to make my own mistakes. I thought that was kind of cute. I don't agree with the idea of not wanting advice in the wisdom. There's wisdom in many counselors, and we need counsel from one another. But I thought it was interesting how human advice is so fallible that there's even a saying here not to trust it. And this is what we find here in this portion of Scripture. We find some good old human advice. Gamaliel here gives some advice to the council. The council had just heard Peter. Peter had just given them some advice too. He advised them to repent. They didn't go for that. That was divine counsel. He advised them to repent and to obey God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they went into a rage and determined they were going to kill the apostles. So here Gamaliel decides he's going to give them some advice. And I thought, well, he's a brave man. You know, one person just gives advice and they decide they're going to kill him. Gamaliel takes upon himself to step in and just like trying to separate two fighting dogs. He's going to give some advice. But I think Gamaliel had the idea that they would appreciate what he would say. And he was going to give them some counsel that was according to their way of thinking. It amazes me that even Christians in this portion of Scripture are divided as to whether Gamaliel's advice was right or wrong. Possibly because the advice resulted in the apostles not being killed. But just because the apostles weren't killed doesn't mean the advice was right. It might mean that God used it, just like He uses the wrath of man to praise Him and He uses the mistakes of those in authority over us. God could use this. It doesn't mean that it was right. I believe we see in this portion here that Gamaliel was an out-and-out religious humanist. And his advice here was strictly the wisdom of man. And that's why the Jews accepted this advice rather than stoning him. They recognized in it that which agreed to their own ways of reasoning. And so in this portion, we'd like to note some things about human wisdom. The first thing we want to note, we see in verse 34, that human wisdom is not necessarily affected or improved by Bible study. Gamaliel here was a Pharisee, one who knew the law of God, and not only that, he was a doctor of the law, a teacher of the Scriptures. And so anything you might want to know about the Bible, Gamaliel would be an expert. The problem is that although he knew all the details, he was not aware of the principles of Scripture. He had the facts, but he didn't know what they meant. And I think this is a very dangerous thing, because a person who has human wisdom but clothes it in scriptural terminology is much more able to deceive, because people are more inclined to believe him since it comes in scriptural terminology. And that's why it's a very dangerous thing to have a preacher that is spilling out human reasoning in biblical language. And to show you how acceptable that is, we find that men who do this have tremendous followings. If you want to get a big crowd, all you have to do is preach human reasoning in biblical terminology. And people will think it's wonderful. The unsaved will think it's wonderful because they recognize their way of thinking. And Christians think it's wonderful because he quotes the Bible. And so this is what we have here. He was a doctor of the law. He was a Pharisee. He was a more popular Pharisee than Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus preferred to give the leaders biblical truth rather than human reasoning. And so Nicodemus said to them, Does our law condemn any man before it hears him? Good, sound, scriptural teaching. And their reply to Nicodemus was not consenting to him as they did here to Gamaliel. Their reply to Nicodemus was, "Are you a Galilean?" Which was an obvious insult. "Go look in the scriptures. There's no prophet that comes out of Galilee." In other words, go back and read your Bible some more. You don't even understand your Bible. And so they scorned him. A searing remark. Ignored his counsel. Good counsel. But here we find that Gamaliel's counsel was accepted. And we need to be warned against this, that just because a man has studied the Bible doesn't mean that he has applied it to his life, nor that he's willing to stand for what it says, nor that it is at all in agreement with the principles of Scripture. And so as a result, you find even in our day, you have all kinds of men with cute little religious-sounding gimmicks. The humanist will say, "I am somebody. I can do it." That's humanism. Religious humanism is, I am a child of God. I am somebody. I can do it. Same thing. You just tag God in the front. And then all the Christians love you too. And so as a result, you have what I call the choo-choo train theology. You know the little choo-choo train? He was trying to get up the hill, and he was chugging away and chugging away. And he tried and he tried and he tried, and he finally did it. And he did it by saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's choo-choo train theology. And that's what you have here, the wisdom of men. But then you just put God in the picture. You put God loves you on the side of the choo-choo train. And then it becomes Christian theology. But it's still humanism, plain and simple. And we need to be warned today about Gamaliels who are running around, religious humanists with all kinds of humanistic ways of thinking, but they put a little bit of biblical terminology to it. Because human wisdom is not necessarily affected in any way by a study of the Bible. Secondly, we find that human wisdom is experience-oriented, verses 35 to 37. Gamaliel says, I want to remind you, men, that before these days, Theudas rose up, boasting himself to be somebody, and about 400 men followed him, and then he was slain, and all those that followed him were scattered, and it came to naught. Everything turned out fine. Then Judas of Galilee rose up and drew away much people after him, and he perished, and as many as obeyed him were dispersed, and so it came to nothing. Don't you see that these things come and go, and nothing comes of them, and everything turns out fine? And so my counsel is, let them alone. The problem will take care of itself. Of course, he said it in a religious way. You have to be careful when you're giving humanistic thoughts. You have to give them a religious flavor, or the people won't, religious people won't follow you. And so he gave it a religious flavor. He said, let them alone. Because if it's of God, you can't stop it anyway. And if it's not of God, it'll just dissipate. And so you have that religious flavor to the humanistic philosophy of time will solve it. And that's humanistic philosophy. Time will solve everything. For example, how do you turn a monkey into a man? You just wait long enough. Give and take a few billion years. You know, anything can happen in a few billion years. Can it? Time will take care of it. Just give it time. And so he says, let them alone. Let them alone. You know, it'll take care of itself. Interesting. Later on in the book of Acts, we read that Saul of Tarsus was a pupil of Gamaliel. But Saul didn't buy his teacher's advice. He said, I'm not going to let them alone. I'm going to persecute them and throw them in prison and kill them. See, Saul of Tarsus found out that Gamaliel's advice didn't work. That was plain, simple, worthless humanism. He didn't buy it. And so he put them in prison. Gave his word against them that they would be slain because human wisdom does not work. And so, human wisdom, but he gave it a flavor of God. You know, that if it's of God, you can't do anything about it. If it's not, it'll disappear. And he forgot one thing. If it's of God, maybe you ought to join it. If it's of God, maybe instead of letting it alone, you ought to join it. And if it's not of God, maybe you ought to oppose it. Because evil doesn't just go away. You know, if evil just went away with the passing of time, Christ could have just stayed up in heaven and said, just give it time, it'll burn out. He said, no, that's not going to happen. And so Jesus Christ came, and he stated very specifically, I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's the only way they're going to stop. And so the Lord Jesus told the Jews, he says, you search the scriptures, For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so Gamaliel, although he was supposed to know the word of God, did not search the scriptures to see what does the scriptures say about this situation. And so as a result, after he gives his experiences here, he says, and now I say unto you, Gamaliel should have sought out the word of God and then come to them and said, this is what the word of God says we ought to be doing in this situation. A careful search of scripture. But instead, he came out with a couple of recent experiences and says, now on the basis of this, I think this is what we ought to do and this will work. But it didn't work. Human wisdom is experience-oriented. Thirdly, human wisdom is fickle. Verse 40, and to him they agreed. Agreed to what? To let them alone. Did they let them alone? No. They beat them. To him they agreed, but they disagreed. In other words, they agreed, but they knew in their own hearts it wouldn't work. They said, we can't let these men go without doing anything because they'll just go out and do the same thing all over again. So we have to beat them to within an inch of their lives. Flaying the severest kind of scourging so that they'll realize that they don't want any more of this kind of thing and they'll be quiet. And so they didn't even really trust Gamaliel's advice, even though they in part agreed with him. But you know, if this were really not of God, they should have stoned the apostles. And if it really was of God, they should have believed the apostles. And so we find that what they did here, the punishment was too light if they were guilty, and it was too severe if they were innocent. And so human wisdom is fickle. It doesn't really know what to do, and so it just grabs at straws and tries to do something that they think might work. Because human wisdom is only very briefly sure of its answers. Gamaliel says, let them alone, and they agreed with him. Yeah, that's what we'll do. 2 minutes later, oh, but we better beat them. That's how long the assurance lasted that they were doing the right thing. Human wisdom is only very briefly sure of its answers. And we find this today, too. Our school system, every year we have a new program. What happened to last year's program? Didn't work. This year's program is really going to work. Every year, new program. Last year's didn't work. Every once in a while, I think in this cycle, they kind of run past what Scripture tells them to do. You know, they didn't mean to get there. They just happened to go by it in the process. That's why sometimes you'll read in different types of counsel regarding things to be done. I was reading one article that said, now what you need to do, first of all, is to get rid of hostility. Great. Of course, they don't tell you how, but the idea is right. Right, you've got to get rid of that hostility. In the next paragraph, they say, learn to ignore parental expectations. Well, that's the key area of guidance. And so in the same article, they'll say one thing that absolutely contradicts the other. And so human wisdom is just so briefly on target as they happen to hit something right occasionally, and then promptly depart from it. And so you'll have structured classrooms and then unstructured classrooms, then back to structured classrooms, and then you'll have discipline, then no discipline, then too much discipline, then not enough discipline, and just keep trying everything all the time and not really sure. Driven in circles by the frustrating inconsistency of human experience. We cannot be guided by human experience. On the contrast to this uncertainty of human wisdom is the exciting certainty of scriptural principles. That's exciting. When you know you've got a principle of scripture, the excitement to know that it's going to work, that it will do what you expect it to do, because God's word is sure and it's true and it's thrilling. I think it's been such a blessing as God has directed our steps in the church. And one example, the missions program. We didn't decide we'd give the missions program a trial run to see if it would work, because it really didn't even matter if it would work or not. The issue was obedience. Are we going to do what God says? And so the point is that we know it's scriptural and we have to do it, and we have no intention of changing to something else to get greater results, because that's not the issue. We know in the long run, God blesses obedience. And many times we have what you would call a death of a vision. And you'll step out in obedience to God and you say, this is obeying God, and so He's going to bless it. And you have the death of a vision. Well, if you're going to change then because that isn't prospering and you just want to prosper, you're going to leave God's will. And so you keep doing it even though it doesn't seem to prosper, because you know it's obeying God. It's doing what He wants you to do. And so there's a tremendous, exciting certainty about doing what you know God says to do. And you can keep on doing it even though it doesn't look like it's prospering, because you know that your chief purpose is to obey Him and not just to prosper, although He promises that His ways will ultimately prosper. And so if we're obeying Scripture, we don't have to worry about whether we're succeeding or failing. But we are only concerned about we're going to obey God. And so God's Word is a rock on which we stand that keeps us firm, contrasted to human wisdom, which is built on sand and is constantly shifting from one side to another. Fourthly, we want to notice that human wisdom ignores divine intervention, verses 41 to 42. To ensure silence of the apostles, they beat them. They gave them a very painful, disgraceful punishment, thinking, now they will certainly think twice about doing that again. Wrong. They didn't even think once. They just did it. And we read here that the disciples considered it an honor to be placed in the same category as the Lord Jesus, to suffer shame for His namesake. The Jews had never planned on that. They didn't expect anything like that. So human wisdom ignores divine intervention, that God can step in and turn things completely around. Now, Jesus had already told His disciples how to react. Matthew 5, 10 to 12, He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He'd already told them, they're going to persecute you, and when they do, you rejoice. And that's what they did. They rejoiced. And human wisdom just doesn't expect that kind of response. There's a surprise factor there that human wisdom is not aware of and does not expect. And so we need to be so cautious today in our society, especially because in our society today we still have in many areas a lot of scripture terminology and some scripture backgrounds, so that a humanist can state things in such a way that it sounds so good. And at, on first impression, you say, well, yes, that sounds great, doesn't it? But we need to be so careful that we unlearn this human wisdom, and that we learn to see Scripture principles, that we learn to recognize the error in these humanistic philosophies, even when they come to us in the terminology of Scripture, even when they add the name of God to it, as Gamaliel did, that we recognize it to be false and to be contrary to the principles of the Word of God. This is true in the area of salvation. Humanistic philosophies that sound so good. And I remember for years how it sounded so good to me. You know, they'd say, well, now you just do the best you can and it'll all work out all right. And I thought, well, you know, who's going to be against doing the best you can? And so I just do the best I can, and God will have to recognize that, you know, He's not such a bad kid, and he tried hard, and he really did the best he could, and so we'll just have to let him into heaven. That's a kind of humanistic philosophy, even about God. But you know, it's just a lie. alive from the pit of hell? Do the best you can. What's the best you can do? There is none righteous, no, not one. That means even the best I can is not righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That means the best I can is filthy rags. God's going to accept that? So you see the horrible deceitfulness of human wisdom. And praise God for the day when we saw in Scripture, in the Word of God, what God says about our sin, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What God says about our need, that we need the righteousness of Christ, and that this is only through repentance and receiving Him as our Savior. What a joy to see the Word of God and see what God says about this, rather than that humanistic philosophy that it never really satisfied me. Every time I tell myself, well, you're doing the best you can, in the next breath I'd say, I know, but I don't think that's enough. And so human wisdom does not satisfy. Praise God for the wisdom of His Word. And that's why as Israel was going into the land of Canaan, God said to Joshua, Joshua, as you take the people of God there into the land, there's one thing I want you to remember. This book of the law of God, this book shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you might do according to everything that's written in it, in this book. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And so make sure, in our day when there's so much humanistic philosophy going around in our nation, make sure that you're in the Word of God. You're meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, asking God to give you discernment from His Word, to discern the fallacy of the many, many religious hucksters that are going on in our day and giving all kinds of advice, to the place where there are people who claim to be Christians today that can read what Gamaliel said and not even recognize it as being contrary to the Word of God. Let's ask God to enable us to get into Scripture and to see His ways, to see His wisdom, and to walk according to it, that He might deliver us from the wisdom of man. Father, we thank You that You have given to us the Word of God, that we might know the truth, and that the truth would make us free. Free from the wisdom of man. Free from humanistic thinking that would lead us contrary to the ways of God. Even from men that from whom we would expect so much. Even from men that sound so good. We pray that we might be aware of this wrong thinking and see how it contradicts the ways of God. We pray that You'd make us a people dedicated to the instruction of Scripture, that we might know Your ways and walk in them. And should there be this morning in our midst one who's not a Christian, maybe who thinks they are, but know that if they died this morning, they'd have no assurance of really going to heaven and being with Christ, we pray that they might recognize the insufficiency of their own ways, the futility of their own works, the wickedness of their own righteousness, thinking that they can merit from God eternal salvation when He has already told us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we pray, Father, there might be an awareness of the ways of God, the ways of God that never change, like building on a rock that we shall not be moved, rather than on the shifting sand where every day You have a new solution, a new hope that only lasts a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.